continue with our discussion on Ashrat al-Sa'a. And our discussion today will be about the two tribes that form the largest number of human beings, according to the statement of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa alayhi wa sallam. Out of every 900, out of every 1,000 human beings, 999 are from Ya'juj and Ma'juj. Out of every 1,000 human beings, 999 are from Ya'juj and Ma'juj. And we either say Ya'juj and Ma'juj or Ya'juj and Ma'juj. They are both correct. Even though majority of the scholars employ the pronunciation without the hamza, or without the hamza, it is also allowed to say Ya'juj and Ma'juj. But the majority of the ulama are upon Ya'juj and Ma'juj. This is what they are mostly called amongst the ulama. These people have been mentioned by Allah in the Quran. And once in Surah Al-Kahf, and also in towards the end of Al-Anbiya. And they are mentioned regarding the last hour on both occasions. They were mentioned regarding the last hour in Surah Al-Kahf. They were also mentioned regarding the last hour in Surah Al-Anbiya, Ya'juj and Ma'juj. And they are coming and their mention regarding the last hour is evidence from the Quran that the detailed explanation given by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa sallam, that Isa alayhi salam will come, that Dajjal will come, and then Ya'juj and Ma'juj will come. This sequence, the fact that the Quran mentions Ya'juj and Ma'juj and connects them to the last hour, makes us understand that we don't have a choice but to accept that explanation from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa sallam about the coming of the Ya'juj and Ma'juj, which involves the coming of Dajjal and Isa alayhi salam. I hope this point is clear. The fact that Allah mentioned Ya'juj and Ma'juj in the Quran and connects their coming to the last hour is evidence that the detailed explanation from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa sallam about Ya'juj and Ma'juj and their coming regarding the last hour together is evidence that all these explanations by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa sallam are apt and correct. They must not be rejected by any sane Muslim. May Allah protect us. So Ya'juj and Ma'juj are tribes from Banu Adam. So ulama say this name is not Arabic. The word Ya'juj and Ma'juj, they are not from the Arabic lexicon. Others also say they are, but the correct thing inshallah is that they are not Arabic words. Ya'juj is not an Arabic word. Ma'juj is not also an Arabic word. Some of the ulama, one of them was mentioned to have said that Ya'juj and Ma'juj are from Adam, but not from Hawa, our great grandmother, Hawa. They said that Adam alayhi salam slept once and had a wet dream, ihtilam. And that what came from his ihtilam, from his wet dream, was mixed with the sand. And it was from this mixture that Ya'juj and Ma'juj were created. Al-Hafiz ibn Hajar rahimahullah, he says, هَذَا قَوْلٌ لَا دَلِيلَ عَلَيْهِ. So this is a statement that has no basis. It's a statement that has no basis. say that Ya'juj. It's common among our Baba Afar when they mention Ya'juj and Ma'juj. I'm sure when I was younger than this, I have heard this in the Ramadan tafsirs we used to attend when they tell the stories of Ya'juj and Ma'juj. But our ulama say they are not, does not have any proof. Says it does not have any mention from any of the pious predecessors amongst the companions and their students. So that is wrong. The correct thing is that they are from amongst the descendants of Nabiyu Nuh. They are from the descendants of Nabiyu Nuh, because every human being on the earth today is a descendant of Nuh. Nabiyu Nuh had three children, Ham, Yafut, and Sam. Ham, Yafut, and Sam. These were the three children. And Allah mentioned something similar in Surah As-Saffat. He says, وَجَعَلْنَا ذُرِّيَّتَهُ هُمُ الْبَاقِينَ. We made the children of Adam to be the one, the only one, ذُرِّيَّتَهُ هُمُ. This is evidence that nobody has descendants. After Allah destroyed the world with the deluge during the time of Noah, those who came with Noah, when he says وَمَا آمَنَ مَعَهُ إِلَّا قَلِيلٌ, and only very few amongst human beings believed along with Nuh alayhi salam. All these other people did not have children. They did not have descendants. So when they passed away, the only person who had descendants that continued Banu Adam, the offspring of Adam, was who? Nuh alayhi salam, from these three children. So ulama say the Ya'juj and the Ma'juj are from the descendants of Yafut. They are from the descendants of Yafut. And Yafut is also the great grandfather of the Turks, the Mongols. The Mongols, we mentioned them as part of the signs of the last hour. So they are from the same descendants. And that's why when the Prophet, we shall come back to it, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam described Ya'juj and Ma'juj alayhi salatu. He described their look and what they will do to us, what they will do to the rest of humanity. How do they look? He described it. You see, their description is the same description as that of the Mongols. We mentioned, if you remember, we mentioned the people of Genghis Khan and the destruction they meted to the Muslims. So they are from the same pedigree, from the same genealogy with the Turks. I mean the Ya'juj and the Ma'juj. From among their attributes, in terms of their physical attributes, the ulama say they have wide faces, iradul wujuh. The Prophet said to alayhi salat, says they are what? Iradul wujuh. Their faces are wide. Sigharul uyun. They are wide. Their faces, their eyes are small. They have wide faces. Iradul uyun. Iradul wujuh. Sigharul uyun. Their eyes are small. And he mentioned alayhi salat wa salam that their hairs are shubhu shu'ur. Their hairs are like so bright in its appearance. And he says, alayhi salatu wasalam, that min kulli hadabin yansilun, like Allah mentioned. So they'll be so large that when they are released by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they will come from every mountain path. Wherever direction you see them in large numbers. يعني من كل حدب ينتشرون. From every mountain pass you see them coming out in large numbers. These people. This description and their facial description made some of the ulama to refer to Genghis Khan and his people himself as Ya'juj and Ma'juj. Like Al-Imam Al-Qurtubi. It says the Mongol
who came in the time of Genghis Khan, because that was how they also attacked the Muslim world. They came in large numbers and from every direction. Part of the hole was opened, and I think some of them have come out. Because this description fits the Ya'juj and the Ma'juj. But the correct thing, inshallah, is that their hole is still sealed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it will be Ja'alahu dakka'a fa'iza ja'a amru rabbi Ja'alahu dakka'a wa kana amru rabbi haqqa. Allah mentioned in Al-Kahf that when the command of Allah comes, Ja'alahu dakka'a, the seal with which Zunurain la, the seal with which, what is his name, وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنْ ذِلْقَرْنَيْنِ, the seal with which ذُلْقَرْنَيْنِ sealed them will be removed by Allah. He says, جَالَهُ دَكَّاءَ, I will break it. He says, وَكَانَ أَمْرُ رَبِّي حَقَّ, and the fact that there will be end time, the last hour will be established, is true. But he connected between breaking the seal and the end time. And then he mentioned وَنُفِقَ فِي الصُّورِ, and then the blowing will be made in the whistle. So these people مِنْ كُلِّ حَدَبٍ يَنْسِلُونَ كَأَنَّ وُجُوهَهُمْ الْمَجَانُ الْمُطْرَقَةِ, their faces are like we described the pattern, their faces are like, we know the shield that the soldiers hold in the past when they fight wars. They are usually thick and round. Thick and round. That is how their faces will be. Thick faces, round looking faces. Like the faces of the Satan. And their eyes will be small eyes. May Allah protect us. That hadith occurs in Musnad Imam Ahmad. It says again that Hum Rijal, Hum Rijalun Aqwiya, they will be very strong men. La taqata li ahadin bi qitalihim. No group of human beings will have at-taqah, the power and the ability لِقِتَالِهِمْ, to fight them. No group of human beings will have the ability. Isa alayhi salam will attempt, and Allah will say, look here, I have not created any people who can fight these people. Run away. Ulama say this is evidence that when people face a superior power, they should run away. Because Isa alayhi salam will be told, run away. Isa alayhi salam will be told, you can't face these people, run away. And go and beg me, we shall come back to it. It is by the dua that Allah will send a worm to occur on their necks by which they will die. By the dua of Isa alayhi salam and those who will be with him on that day. But it is not all the time that a group of Muslims have the ability to face non-Muslims. It's not all the time. So, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was reported to have mentioned in the hadith by Amr ibn al-As that some of these people, when they deliver and they are about to die, they leave about 1,000 descendants. A man will die among Ya'juj and Ma'juj, and he will leave up to 1,000 children. We now, when we have 4 or 5, they say, oh, it's too much. Oh. They have 1,000. So that will explain their large number by the time that Allah will release them. There are verses of the Quran. After all this now, we'll be dealing with two sections. One section reading having to do with the Quran, and the other having to do with the hadith of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. So this is how they will look, we mentioned. Regarding how they will come out, where they are now, many of the ulama explain that they are somewhere in the Far East. One of them, some of them, like we mentioned, said some of them have been released. But the correct thing is that none of them has been released. They are in the Far East. Before we also go to that, I think it's Safa, we explain. Dhulqarnain was a pious king in his time, and Allah gave him a lot of people as his soldiers who were fighting behind him. Dhulqarnain. Who would have heard of Dhulqarnain? Some people came now recently to say Dhulqarnain was Alexander the Great. Alexander the Great was a kafir. Allah will not refer to Alexander the Great as a salih. Neither will the Prophet refer to him as a pious person. Alexander the Great was a kafir. He wasn't the one. And the time of Dhulqarnain came before the time of Alexander, that is said to be Dhulqarnain. There is no connection between Alexander the Great, as they call him, and our own Dhulqarnain that Allah told us about. In connection to Ya'juj and Ma'juj, in Al-Kahf, Allah says, ثُمَّ أَتْبَعَ سَبَبًا. This king, Dhulqarnain, part of his movement across the world, he says, ثُمَّ أَتْبَعَ سَبَبًا. Then he will follow a road. This is Al-Kahf now. We want to get to how did Ya'juj and Ma'juj get to where they are now. Allah told us in the Quran. He says, ثُمَّ أَتْبَعَ سَبَبًا. Then Dhulqarnain moved and followed a pathway. Allah says, حَتَّى إِذَا بَلَغَ بَيْنَ السَّدَّيْنِ. When he got to Bayn al-Saddain, a mountain path, Saddu, a mountain path, Bayn al-Saddain, there's a mountain to the right, a mountain to the left. The path in between them where human beings can walk is referred to as the Bayn al-Saddain, the path between two mountains, the mountain path. When he got there, as Allah says, he says, وَجَدَ مِنْ دُونِهِمَا قَوْمَا. Dhulqarnain met behind it a group of people, لَا يَكَادُونَ يَفْقَهُونَ قَوْلَا. They almost cannot hear any language being spoken. لَا يَكَادُونَ يَفْقَهُونَ قَوْلَا. They almost would not understand any statement being spoken to them. In another qira'a, ulama say, لَا يَكَادُونَ يُفْقَهُونَ قَوْلًا. They almost will not be made to understand. That is, لَا يَكَادُونَ يَفْقَهُونَ. They cannot understand what people say. وَلَا يَكَادُونَ يُفْقَهُونَ. And they cannot be made to understand what people say. So when you speak to them, they don't know what you are saying. When they want to talk to you, they too, they don't know what they are saying. These people were behind the mountain path that Dhulqarnain passed through, Bayn al-Saddain. He passed through between two mountains, through a mountain path, and then he met a group of people, لَا يَكَادُونَ يَفْقَهُونَ قَوْلًا. They almost cannot understand any statement. Some of the ulama say this is meaning that they can't understand the language of the rest of the peoples of the world. But some others say they did not say they don't understand at all. It is لَا يَكَادُونَ يَفْقَهُونَ. They almost would not understand. Meaning that there will be one, two, three amongst them that will understand. And that was why when they now say يَا ذَلْقَرْنَيْنَ, one of the ulama say it is their mutarjim, the one who helped them to interpret, that they told to say, look, help us call Dhulqarnain. That it was that one who was told to tell Dhulqarnain all of these now that went on between them and Dhulqarnain. And you see that that is most correct. Because if you hold that none of them would understand what Dhulqarnain would say, you find it difficult to say, okay, how then did this communicate with Dhulqarnain? But what the Quran says is that لَا يَكَادُونَ يَفْقَهُونَ. They almost will not understand. It is not that لَا يَفْقَهُونَ قَوْلًا. Allahu alam. So these people refer to Dhulqarnain. They say, قَالُوا يَا ذُلْقَرْنَيْنِ إِنَّا يَأْجُوجَ وَمَأْجُوجَ مُفْتِدُونَ فِي الْأَرْضِ. O Dhulqarnain, يَأْجُوج and مَأْجُوج مُفْتِدُونَ فِي الْأَرْضِ. يَأْجُوج and مَأْجُوج are causing evil on the earth. It was said that يَأْجُوج and مَأْجُوج, they will come from behind where they lived. Whatever they came across, they destroyed it. Whatever water they came across, they drank it. and then they went back to where they came from, Ya'juj and Ma'juj. And when you look at it, the Tatars, this was how they were. The Tatars were like this. If you read the history of the Tatars, when they came, they destroyed whatever they found and then they went back to their enclave. May Allah protect us. So they complained to Dhulqarnain that Ya'juj and Ma'juj muftiduna fil ard, fahal taj'al laka kharja, fahal naj'al laka kharja. Should we give you some gift, kharaj, when we harvest our plants, our crops? Let us give them to you. Allah and taj'ala baynana wa baynahum sadda. Allah, so in place of we giving you these gifts, what you will do to us is that taj'ala baynana wa baynahum sadda. You are going to put a barrier between we and Ya'juj and Ma'juj, so that Ya'juj and Ma'juj will not be able to come to where we are. Ulama say this is one evidence that the Sharia recognizes imprisonment. You put a barrier between evil mufsidun, evil people who spread evil on the earth, so that they will not be able to come to where the people of piety and righteousness are. Imprisonment. Ulama take ruling for imprisonment from Jalu Saddi ala Ya'juj wa Ma'juj, from the making of Sadd, the barrier between Ya'juj and Ma'juj. Because the illah of that Sadd, the reason why they want the barrier is what? Yufsiduna fil ard. So ulama say, alladhina yufsiduna fil ard, it means those who spread evil of the earth, yufsad, yufbasun. They could be held away from the rest of the people with a barrier. They make evidence for imprisonment with this. Though the person who started imprisonment in the history of Islam was Umar radiallahu anhu. But they deduce evidence from this. So the people begged Dhulqarnain, fahal نجعل لك خرج على أن تجعل بيننا وبينهم صدا. And then Dhulqarnain replied and says, ما مكنني فيه, what Allah has blessed me with, ربي خير, what my Lord has blessed me with is better, فأعينوني, but you are going to provide some aid to me. Don't forget that the soldiers of Dhulqarnain are large. They are so large. Ulama say only Allah knows their number. So when Dhulqarnain is moving, you can imagine the number of people coming behind him. So that was why those people went and said, these people are large, just like Ya'juj and Ma'juj. Please help us look for a way that these people will not come to us and oppress us again. So he asked them, فَعَيْنُوا بِكُوَّةٍ, you are going to help me also with your strength. أَجْعَلْ بَيْنَكُمْ وَبَيْنَهُمْ رَدِمًا, and I'm going to place between you and them رَدُمْ. Ulama say الرَّدُمْ السَّدْ. I'm going to place a barrier between you and Ya'juj and Ma'juj. The request he made them says, أَتُونِي زُبَرَ الْحَدِيدِ, get me huge chunks of iron. When you bring huge chunks of iron, hatta iza sawa bayna sadafayn, when they brought these two chunks, he asked them to be blowing it. They will blow the chunks the way, you know, the billows, the goldsmith, when they blow, they blew the iron until it melted. Ulama say that was why Dhulqarnain was saying that Hada rahmatun min Rabbi, this is karama from Allah for Dhulqarnain. It was karama for him because they blew, as they blew the iron that they had gathered. Imagine a mountain on the right, a mountain on the left, and then people gather iron until it goes up to the level of the mountain, blocking the mountains up. And then they begin to blow it. How much of energy will they employ to blow that? I'm sure we may not be able to do that in our own generation. Because when the iron melts, those people blowing it will not be able to stay there. When the iron melts, those blowing it will not be able to stay. Because of the extent of the heat required to melt iron. So they had to leave the place.
But they, Allah made it such that they blew the iron, the iron was getting melted, and yet they were still able to do what? To blow it. So that was why it was Rahmatun min Rabbi. It was a mercy from Allah. For who? For Dhul Qarnayn, who offered to provide help for them against Ya'juj and Ma'juj. So he says, Hatta idha ja'alahu nara. So when he made the iron to melt, he says to them, Atuni ufrid alayhi qitra. Bring me some copper. So after the iron, he poured copper, hot copper on it. Those of you who did basic chemistry, iron and copper, what will they give us? Iron, what will iron and copper give us? This is a jam question, they said. They say a mixture of iron and copper. Though they may add other things to make the alloy. They call them alloys. Alloys are stronger usually than single element composition. When you have an alloy, when you have a composition of two things, two metals, in this case the combination was between iron and what? Copper. How will it be? I think that will give us brass, if I remember. It will give us brass. What will it give us? It will give us what? Brass. Copper and zinc will give us brass. So what will iron and copper give us? Now? Yes, an alloy. What type of alloy? Stainless steel? No. Well, stainless steel, the iron will be the majority. It appears stainless steel. I think it is stainless steel. It's not stainless steel. Go and find that out in Ababio and Stan. It just came to my mind now that this will be an alloy that he did. It will be stronger than ordinary iron, and it will be stronger than ordinary copper. He melted the iron and then brought melted copper and poured on it. So it formed a barrier that since then till today, as much as the number of Ya'juj and Ma'juj, they have not been able to break it open. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said they will make effort, try to break it. When they make a hole, trying to get something, yes, we can get out now. They will say, okay, good job, let's leave it and come back tomorrow. By the time they come back tomorrow, Allah will cover it all again. So they start from where they began, where they ended. They start afresh. And it has been like that since the time that Allah had locked them where they are. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, when the time that Allah will release them, their leader who had been telling them, different leaders at different times, oh, we have a job, won't we go out? So one of them will say, oh, when they open in the evening, instead of saying, go home, come back tomorrow and continue, he said, go home and we will come back tomorrow and continue, inshallah. And Allah will leave it until they come back. So when they come back, they will expose. This hadith is in Musnad Imam Ahmad. When they come back the following day, they will be able to expose the place and they will be outside the rest of the world. And a group of people that for generations mankind has not seen will be exposed. They will run min kulli hadadin yankilun. So he says, Hatta iza ja'alahu rabbi, iza ja'a. What did he say? Hatta it says Jalahu Daka Awakana Amur Rabbi Wakana Wadu Rabbi Hakko. Allah will make the promise to come to true when he opens this seal that he will make of Ya'juj and the Ma'juj. So this is how Ya'juj and Ma'juj were concealed, and this is how they will come out inshallah towards the end of time. But this time that they will come out, it will be just as Isa alayhi salam, Allah gives him the ability that Dajjal will see him and melt in the water as salt melts in the Dajjal will melt the way salt melts in water. I think it was where we stopped. So we go back to the hadith. Very lengthy hadith in Sahih Muslim. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So when Dajjal becomes melted and he has gone, and the Jews have been defeated in the battle that will ensue. It says, Yati Isa alayhi salam, Ibn Maryam qawmun, some people will come to Isa alayhi salam. But asamahu Allahu minhu, Allah had protected them from the evil of Al-Masih al-Dajjal. Those who will be saved from the fitna of Dajjal, they will come to Isa alayhi salam. Fayamsahu an wujuhihim, and Isa alayhi salam will wipe their faces. The ulama say two ways. Yamsahu ala wujuhihim could mean that yes, Isa alayhi salam will actually be wiping their faces, ala zahir al-hadith, as the hadith indicates. But Al-Imam Qadi Iyad says it could also mean that he will wipe their faces by means of he will be easing their problems. Because when Dajjal comes, people will be in trouble. So when they find Isa alayhi salam, wiping the face may also mean easing their affairs. And both of them is possible. It could mean that when he wipes their faces, their affairs will become eased. But he will calm them down. Alayhi salatu wa salam. وَيُحَدِّثُهُمْ بِدَرَجَاتِهِمْ فِي الْجَنَّةِ, and then Isa alayhi salam will tell them the status they will occupy inside al-Jannah. Those people who keep upon Iman until the Dajjal comes and goes away. Isa alayhi salam, يُحَدِّثُهُمْ بِدَرَجَاتِهِمْ فِي الْجَنَّةِ. Add to it, those who ask, if Isa alayhi salam comes, what will he do? يُحَدِّثُهُمْ بِدَرَجَاتِهِمْ فِي الْجَنَّةِ. He will tell them their status in al-Jannah. فَبَيْنَمَا هُوَ كَذَلِكَ, when Isa alayhi salam will be in this condition, إِذْ أَوْحَى اللَّهُ إِلَىٰ عِيسَى بْنِ مَرْيَمَ alayhi salam, Allah will inspire Isa alayhi salatu wa salam that إِنِّي قَدْ أَخْرَجْتُ عِبَادًا, I have released some of my slaves, عِبَادًا لِي لَا يَدَانِي لِأَحَدٍ بِقِتَالِهِمْ لَا يَدَانِي لِأَحَدٍ لِقِتَالِهِمْ. No human being has two hands to fight them. That is, no 200 people can fight them. No group of human beings will be able to fight them. Allah will tell Isa alayhi salam that. فَحَرِّزْ عِبَادِي إِلَى الطُّورِ, فَحَرِّزْ عِبَادِي إِلَى الطُّورِ, so take my servant and run away to seek protection at Mount Tur. وَالطُّور, this mountain occurs in Palestine today. It occurs till today. It is about 800 meters or so above, as they say. Very high mountain. So the Muslims will be above the mountain. وَيَبْعَثُ اللَّهُ يَعْجُوجُ وَمَعْجُوجُ, it is when they go above this mountain, you will leave Ya'juj and Ma'juj. وَهُمْ مِنْ كُلِّ حَدَبٍ يَنْسِلُونَ, the Prophet said alayhi salatu wasalam, they will take over every route, every path. They will take over it because of their large number. Compare what he said alayhi salatu wasalam. For every human being, as we know ourselves, for them is 999. So if the human population will be 10 billion at the time, 10 billion times 999. That will be their own population. The population of Ya'juj and Ma'juj. When they die, they leave 1,000 children behind. 1,000. When we die, we leave 3-4. And now we are even trying to reduce our population. Because child spacing, we call it. No child spacing for Ya'juj and Ma'juj. Yes. No serious community does it. No serious community, because number matters. China is one of the strongest part countries in the world today. Because of what? For every 5 human beings, one is a Chinese. Every 5 human beings, one is a Chinese. For every 5 human beings, one is a Chinese. Even in Makkah, Hajj, Umrah, and all of this, you see the Malaysians. You see a lot of Malaysians. They have a larger Muslim population than the entirety of Saudi Arabia and the Arabian Peninsula. You know that? The number of Muslims in Malaysia alone, they are larger than the entire number of Muslims in the Arabian Peninsula. Number matters. Number matters. And that did not stop them from being well organized. Every year they win the most organized country at Hajj, Malaysia and Indonesia. So number matters. So when these people become released, فيمر أوائلهم على بحيرة صبرية فيمر أوائلهم the first group of them that will move يمرون ببحيرة الصبرية they will go past a بحيرة small lake بحيرة is a river that is surrounded by a land بحيرة and the lake علماء refer to بحيرة الصبرية they say it is the sea we call today the Sea of Galilee you remember the Sea of Galilee it is there till today it's a small lake they will pass by it فَيَشْرَبُونَ مَا فِيهَا and they will drink everything in that lake وَيَمُرُّ آخِرُهُمْ and then the last batch of them will come and say فَيَقُولُونَ لَقَدْ كَانَ بِهَذِهِ مَرَّةً مَاءٌ this place مَرَّةً at a point in time كَانَ فِيهِمَا there used to be water here you don't forget they used to come out and go back so they knew where they were going to there should be water here where is it all because they will see the sign of a lake that this place should have this kind of a location should have water but those who came first amongst their group would have finished the water from that lake وَلَا يَمُرُّونَ بِمَاءٍ and they will not pass by any river or sea إِلَّا شَرِبُوا except that they drank all whatever they found there وَلَا بِشَيْءٍ إِلَّا أَفْسَدُوا likewise they will not pass by any land إِلَّا أَفْسَدُوا except that they destroyed the land may Allah protect us فَيَقُولُونَ these people will say لَقَدْ قَتَلْنَا مَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ we have destroyed every person on the earth people see them and run away those who didn't run they will destroy them so they will be deceived by their power to say قَدْ قَتَلْنَا مَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ we have already destroyed the people of the earth هَلُمَّ let's come on let's go فَلْنَقْتُلْ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاءِ now we want to fight the people in the heavens يَعْجُوجُ وَمَأْجُوجُ don't forget مُفْسِدُونَ فِي الْأَرْضِ they are people of facade on the earth so they will say فَلْنَقْتُلْ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاءِ now we are going to fight the people of the heavens فَيَرْمُونَ بِمُشَّابِهِمْ إِلَى السَّمَاءِ يَرْمُونَ بِمُشَّابِهِمْ they will start shooting their arrows towards the sky they want to fight the people of the heavens يَمُرُّونَ أَوْ يَرْمُونَ بِمُشَّابِهِمْ إِلَى السَّمَاءِ فَيَرُدُّ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ نُشَّابَهُمْ يَرُدُّ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ نُشَّابَهُمْ Allah will send back their arrows to them they will shoot the arrows off Allah will send it back to them it is easy for us to understand because no matter how much it goes up when its velocity ends and gets to zero what will happen to it it will come back to them Allahu Akbar وَمَا يَعْلَمُ جُنُودَ رَبِّكَ إِلَّا هُوَ no one knows the soldiers of Allah except him now the gravity will be the one that will fight them they will need a lot of energy to shoot it up but no matter how much energy they employed in shooting it up when it finishes it will do what? It will return except what? except when? When will those arrows be returned to them by something else apart from gravity when it goes beyond 84 kilometers is it not 84 kilometers ha when it goes beyond there is an area in the sky where gravity does not work what is the distance from the earth 84 or 87 in any case Allah will return their sword their armory they shot into the heaven Allah will return it to them mahdubatan daman it will be mahduba it will be stained with what with blood so they will think foolishly that they had killed the people of the heaven because Allah returned it to them mahduba daman while it is stained with blood wa yufsaru nabiyullah isa alayhi salam wa ashabuhu فَإِسَى عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ and those with him will remain at Mount Tor حتى يكون رأس الثور لأحدهم خيرا من 100 دينار لأحدكم اليوم.
They will remain on that mountain to the extent that for them, they will prefer to remain on top of that mountain than to come and collect 1,000 dinars on the ground. They will prefer to remain there than to come down to receive 1,000 dinars. 1,000 dinars is of value. 20 dinars, 100 dinars. 20 dinars today is the nisab for zakah, and 20 dinars today for nisab is over 500,000 naira. So 100 dinars will be 500,000 times what? Times 5. That will be about how much? About 2.5 million. So it is like saying they will value remaining on the earth than to tell them, come down and come and collect 2.5 million naira. They say, no, keep your 2.5 million. We want to remain here. So it's like saying they will value remaining on top of the mountain than coming down to receive any paltry worldly benefit because of the fear of Ya'juj and Ma'juj. So they will remain on that mountain. He says, فَيَرْغَبُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ عِيسَى وَأَصْحَابُهُ. So Isa alayhi salam and his companions, يَرْغَبُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ عِيسَى وَأَصْحَابُهُ. They will start begging Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَيُرْسِلُ اللَّهُ النَّجَفَ فِي رِقَابِهِمْ. Allah will then send a nagaf, a worm, فِي رِقَابِهِمْ, to attack the necks of Ya'juj and Ma'juj. I tried to find out what does a nagaf mean to us. A nagaf means the worm, they call it miasis. Miasis, a worm that afflicts, and they say it is common in tropical Africa, and that it is common with people who have open wounds. The wound will be afflicted by this worm, and that worm will have hair on it. There are diagrams on it, we can find out about it. A nagaf. They call it meiasis. That is by way of making us understand better what he meant, alayhi salatu wasalam. So that injury, that ailment will come on the necks of the people of Ya'juj and Ma'juj. It says, فَيُصْبِحُونَ فَارْسَى. They are going to wake up the next day, قَتْلَى. They would all have died. They will all die from that ailment. Allah will make that disease to be a killer disease for them. And he says, their death kamauti nafsin wahida. The death of Ya'juj and Ma'juj will be what? Kamauti nafsin wahida. It will be like the death of a single soul. Thumma yuhbitu nabiyullahi Isa alayhi salam. Thumma yahbitu Isa alayhi salatu wasalam ila al-ard. Then Isa alayhi salam yahbit. He will come down to the surface of the earth. فَلَا يَجِدُونَ فِي الْأَرْضِ مَوْضِعَ شِبْرٍ. They will not find anywhere the length, a place in the size of the palm length where they can. إِلَّا مَلَأَهُ زَهَمُهُمْ وَنَتْنُهُمْ. Except their zaham. When people die on the earth, you see there is something like an oil that oozes out of a dead person, oily. And this oil is very smelly. So they will not find a place on the earth except that these things, the oil from their dead body, will flow on the ground. Likewise, the smell of these people will be on the ground. May Allah protect us. فَيَرْغَبُ نَبِيُّ اللَّهِ إِسَىٰ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ. There will not be cranes to pack the dead body. So Isa alayhi salam will beg Allah again. This is problem. The smell will not allow us to live on the earth. So he will beg Allah with those with him. He says, فَيُرْسِلُ اللَّهُ طَيْرًا كَأَعْنَاكِ الْبُخْتِ. Allah will now send some birds. كَأَعْنَاكِ الْبُخْتِ. Their necks will be as long as those of the camels, or like the camel. Allah will send birds
whose neck will be like the necks of the camels. فَتَحْمِلُهُمْ حَيْثُ شَاءَ اللَّهِ. These are the beds that will pick up the carcass of Ya'juj and Ma'juj. So he said, ثُمَّ يُرْسِلُ اللَّهُ مَتْرًا. Then Allah will send a rain. لَا يَكُنُّ مِنْهُ بَيْتُ مَدَرٍ وَلَا وَبَرٍ. No house, whether it is بَيْتُ مَدَرٍ, a house built of mud, wala wabarin, or any other thing that is used in the city, except that the rain will soak it. The fayagtilu al-ard, the earth will be washed away, hatta yatrukaha kazalfa, until it will be left like plain mirror. The earth that has been smelling of the carcass of Ya'juj and Ma'juj, Allah will send rain to fall on it. And it will cleanse off, the birds will take away their corpses to where Allah will decide. They take the corpses away to where Allah will decide. Thereafter Allah will send the rain and the earth will be so cleansed, looking like the plain mirror in the way it will be clean at the time. This hadith occurs in Sahih Muslim by Al-Imam Muslim, and it describes when Ya'juj and Ma'juj will be released and what will happen to them and how Allah will take their lives away. After this time, there will still be Muslims, there will still be non-Muslims, there will still be Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. Don't forget, we mentioned in our last class that Isa alayhi salam will stay for 40 years, as is in the hadith of Muslim Imam Ahmad. He will stay for about 40 years after. He will make Hajj. At this time, the Kaaba will still be there. The Kaaba will still be there. Isa alayhi salam will make Hajj and he will die like every other human being will die. We'll mention some of these also in our next class. So what will happen after the rain? After the earth is cleansed, what will happen? Inshallah, we'll mention it as we discuss the rest of the issue. The point today is about Ya'juj and Ma'juj. How did they look? How did they get to where they are today? Where they are still today. During the time of the companions, a companion in Medina told the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says he saw where Ya'juj and Ma'juj were filled. The Prophet asked him alayhi salatu wasalam, how was it looking like? He described it. The Prophet said, فَقَدْ رَأَيْتَهَا. You have actually seen it. The hadith occurs in Sahih Bukhari. So there was a companion who actually saw where they were filled. He told the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam about it, and the Prophet asked him to describe what he saw. He described it, and the Prophet confirmed what that companion saw, that yes, they are the one. It means it is still on this our earth. It is on this earth that we have Ya'juj and Ma'juj, just as we have Al-Masih al-Dajjal also with us now on this earth. And by the time Allah wills, he will release them to come for what? For which he has created them at the end of time. Likewise, part of the things that is necessary to mention about Ya'juj and Ma'juj was that during the time of Harun, Al-Mu'tasim Billah, one of the children of Harun Rashid, he sent some people to go and search for the place where Ya'juj and Ma'juj were. And they will search for them. They went and returned after 60 years. They were said to have found the place and all of that. Al-Hafiz ibn Kathir mentioned that they went, but the ulama say ibn Kathir did not refer the statement to anybody. How did he know? Who told him? Where did he get it from? Is it really authentic that they went? The ulama say they just mentioned it as one of those things that has been mentioned about Ya'juj and Ma'juj. Allahu a'lam bi sihhatihi. Only Allah knows whether it is authentic or not that they actually found the place. But authentically, during the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a companion told the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he has seen it. The Prophet asked him alayhi salatu, what did you see? And he described what he saw to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he says, فَقَدْ رَأَيْتَهَا. You have actually seen it, which means that he was actually correct that he saw it. If he had not seen it and he claimed to have seen it, Allah would have told us that it's not true, he didn't see it. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Revelation confirmed that the companion saw it. Part of what has also been mentioned about Ya'juj and Ma'juj was what Sayyid Qutb mentioned in his tafsir, Fi Zilal al-Qur'an, that in his opinion, the Ya'juj and Ma'juj are the Tatars and the Mongols. He mentioned, he quoted some European historians who explained that their travelers traveled in the Russian subcontinent around Azerbaijan, and they found what the Quran described, and that subsequently the place was blown open and that those people have come out from that area. And that's why if you read about Genghis Khan and the Tatars from Western authors, you will hear them say that they don't understand their origin. They were like a people that were released to the earth, because their thinking is that these people should be the Ya'juj and the Ma'juj. And in almost everything that the Tatars did, it resembled the description of Ya'juj and Ma'juj. But what we refute that is that Ya'juj and Ma'juj will not be released by Allah until Dajjal comes and goes away. That is one. Point two, Ya'juj and Ma'juj will not be released by Allah until Isa alayhi salam will descend. Not just that, Al-Imam al-Mahdi would also have appeared. So because now we have not seen all of these, the events that we have mentioned occurred in 7th century of Islam, 15th century of the Gregorian calendar, and between then and now, we have not seen anything about 600-700 years later. Isa alayhi salam we didn't see, Dajjal we didn't see, Al-Imam al-Mahdi we didn't see, and then the last hour was not established 500 years after. This is evidence that that conjecture was really wrong by those people we mentioned, that they said that Ya'juj and Ma'juj were the Tatars and the Mongols. So Ya'juj and Ma'juj have not been released. The other question they will ask us again, so where are they now? We say we don't know, but the Quran says that they are somewhere. A companion said he saw them. The Prophet said you are correct, alayhi salatu wasalam. We leave our iman at that, so that we will not be talking about what we don't know about. I think it suffices on Ya'juj and Ma'juj. Inshallah. Ameen. Can we refer to a person who does not believe in classifying hadith into Hassan and Da'if as a kafir? No. Hassan and Da'if. Perhaps he meant Sahih and Da'if. He does not, he can't refer, these are not from the issues. Don't forget, he read to us what makes a person a kafir. Nawaqid al-Islam. What makes a person a kafir? We read them to us, we explained. A person who does not believe in classifying hadith into Hassan is just an ignorant person. Because everything is either Sahih or Da'if. Everything is either Sahih or Da'if. If you are wearing a cloth, the cloth is either Sahih or Da'if. It's either correct or wrong. If people claim that something is revelation from Allah, it's either true or wrong. That's why Allah says, فَوَيْلٌ لِلَّذِينَ يَكْتُبُونَ الْكِتَابَ بِعِلْمِكُمْ ثُمَّ يَقُولُونَ هَذَا مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ لِتَشْتَرُوا بِهِ ثَمَنًا قَلِيلًا فَوَيْلٌ لَهُمْ مِمَّا كَتَبَتْ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَوَيْلٌ لَهُمْ مِمَّا يَكْتُبُونَ. This is evidence that those claims they make about the books they wrote and ascribed to Allah is da'if. But there is a book, sahih. قَدْ جَاءَكُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ نُورٌ وَكِتَابٌ مُبِينٌ يَهْدِي بِهِ اللَّهُ مَنِ اتَّبَعَ رِضْوَانَهُ سُبُلَ السَّلَامِ وَيُخْرِجُهُمْ مِنَ الظُّلُمَاتِ إِلَى النُّورِ بِإِذْنِهِ وَيَهْدِيهِمْ إِلَى صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ. Now we mentioned two groups of books, Abi. One book lie, one book true. So the one that is true is sahih, the one that is a lie is what? I'm just trying to say, in everything that is sahih and da'if. So in what people ascribe to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there is necessarily sahih, and that is necessarily da'if. This is from the aspect of aql, using intellect to give evidence to that person that there must be sahih and there must be da'if. Even human beings, are we all healthy and sound in our nature? Some people are weak, some people are... Everything you find, there is sahih and da'if. Everything you find, there is sahih and da'if. Doctor, everything there is sahih and da'if. May Allah protect us. Build up and fast this, inshallah. Alaykum as-salam. What is the name of the Sahabi that told the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he saw the seal of Ya'juj and Ma'juj? I just saw the hadith for the first time today, and the hadith occurs in Sahih al-Bukhari. I was lazy to have gone back to a place I can find the name. I did not do that. I didn't finish that my homework. But the name does not occur in Sahih al-Bukhari. The person who reported the hadith just says Ba'du Ansar, one of the people of Medina. He didn't mention his name. But from the Ada of Al-Hafiz ibn Hajar, people like Badruddin al-Aini and others who did Sharh of Sahih Bukhari, is that kind of a hadith. They will look for other hadith in which the name of that person will be mentioned. Unfortunately, I did not do that. Al-Khatib al-Baghdadi also has a book where he will mention the names of those that were not mentioned in a particular hadith. There are books on that. Unfortunately, I did not check it. So I will not be able to say now, maybe in the next class, inshallah. Alaykum salam. The number, he's asking of the number of the hadith in Sahih Bukhari. I didn't have the number in my mind, but also I can tell you in the next class, inshallah. Ameen. Alaykum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. The Ya'juj and Ma'juj, are they going to be? Yes, some people is part of the things people say, that Ya'juj and Ma'juj will be tall and huge. There is no evidence. What evidence has is that whom akwiya, they will be strong, because the Prophet said alayhi salatu wasalam that Allah didn't create any group of people that can fight these people. And strength to fight does not necessarily mean what? Height. People may be short and strong. So it's not evidence that they are tall or they will be tall. But there is evidence that they will be very, very strong people from the Ya'juj and the Ma'juj. Now, alaykum as-salam. Now, Ya'juj and Ma'juj, are they going to be judged on the Day of Judgment? Yes. Because of statements of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that they will be burnt in the fire too. That is evidence that they had a Rasul or a Nabi over whose Sharia they will be placed on. They had a Nabi. And then you will not say they are muftidun if they don't have a chance to choose between fasad and salah. It says, Inna ya'juj wa ma'juja muftidun, that they are evil people spreading evil on the earth. If they were not a people who had a choice to choose between fasad or between ifsad and islah and salah, he will not say they are muftidun. So it means they have a sharia upon which they will be judged, and for which the Prophet said alayhi salatu wasalam, 999 of them will be in the fire. For every one of us, of the rest of other human beings that will be in the fire, 999 will be from Ya'juj and Ma'juj, which meant that they received a message. Because from the qaida of Islam is that وَمَا كُنَّا مُعَذِّبِينَ حَتَّى نَبَعَثَ رَسُولًا. Allah will not punish any group of people except that He has sent a messenger to them. Alaykum as-salam. Ameen wa alaykum
as-salam. I want to let me clarify this.
Okay.
When you are
Isa, Ibad and Lee, my slaves. So it means there should be a pile of people. Every creature of Allah is Ibadullah. Because there are two forms of Ibadah. The Ibadah that we make because of the way Allah has created us. For example, Allah made this eye to see. That is the ibadah of the eye, because it will be obeying Allah's injunctions. Allah created the ears to hear. So that is the ibadah for it, because it is in obedience to Allah that the ear hears. So this ibadah, this submission, human being does not have a control over it. So that's why we will not be rewarded or punished for it. The ibadah for which will be rewarded and punished are those ones now he brought, follow my messenger. So that is the one for which human beings will be rewarded or punished. But the first type of ibadah, Allah created our heart to do what you know that heart do, the heart, biologically, anatomically. That is ibadah too. It is functioning in obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in that sense, every human being is Abdullah. But in the sense of the ibadah of choice, not just human beings, every creature is Abdullah in this sense. Because what the laws they obey in their operations, in what they do, are the laws of who? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In this sense, every human being is Abdullah. Ibadali aweru mikrat, you will say in your language. So it doesn't mean they are pious or not pious. It only means part of my creature. Amen. Now, go on, Mr. Mba. Now. Sheikh Ibn al-Uthaymeen say don't sell it. Say don't make profit from what you know to be wrong. So you can throw it away or do something else with it. I mean, he mentioned that in his Sheikh of Riyadh Salihin, the fourth volume. Now. Alaykum salam. In our Sharia, he says in our Sharia it is permissible for a woman to use gold, while it is haram for a man to use gold. Is it proper for us to be selling gold? Yes. Early Muslims sold gold and traded in gold. It is allowed for both males and females to sell gold. Because a man can buy a golden ring, like it, and keep it in his house. As long as he does not wear it, he's keeping gold by way of keeping property. Because gold is property. Gold in anything, but hadith in gold, go and hide it. It's treasure. The thing, like you are keeping money. So you see, gold can be kept like that by men. But the use of gold by women is restricted to those forms of gold that are not popular. So if a woman wants to use a golden ring, she should use perhaps a golden ring that's just dropping like one like this. Or that has any other. It should not be circular. Az-Zahabul Muhallaq. Inshallah, this appears the most correct opinion on this matter. That the women should not use a circular golden ornament, but they could use any other type of gold. The gold may be fashioned in any other form, but not a circular. For example, a golden bangle that goes round like this. No, don't use that. You may use, if you have to use gold on a bangle, you could cut it. The goldsmith, there's a way they do it, they cut it. In fact, the silver may be golden in color. So you cut it, some gold, some silver, some gold, some silver. But to use the entirety of it as gold, the ulama say it is wrong, even for women. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, من صره أن يطوق حبيبه بتوك من النار فليطوقه بطوق من الذهب أو كما قال عليه السلام. Whoever will be pleased on the day of Qiyamah to get a circular golden ornament for his family, let him do that for her on this dunya. This hadith, I'm well aware that the ulama are divided whether it is authentic or not. Some say it is authentic, like Al-Imam Al-Albani rahimahullah. He almost used an entire book to prove that this hadith is sahih. And others say that it is da'if, like Al-Imam Al-Shawkani. Like others too say the hadith is weak. And many others amongst the scholars in our time, like Sheikh Mustafa Al-Adawi, like many others say the hadith is weak. But Allahu A'lam, what I am convinced about as I am seated here is that that hadith is authentic. After looking at the book, after studying the book, inshallah, it appears that the hadith is authentic, inshallah. So that's why I mentioned that the correct thing is that the circular golden ornament should not be used. The gold should be interspersed with silver. As for silver, women can use it as they like, and the men can use silver ring, the ring of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he put on when he was told that the world will not recognize his letters that do not have seal. He made a ring, and the ring was made from silver with a black head, and he will wear that head inside his hand, inside the palm. When he wore his silver ring, the head was worn inside, and that head has Muhammadun Rasulullah on it, inscribed Muhammad under, Rasul on top, Allahu up. He did not say Muhammad up, Rasul Allah, and then leave Allah's name below his own name, alayhi salatu wasalam. So he will put Muhammad first below Rasul and Allah on the ring, so with which he stamped his letters, and he wore it inside. The narrations that he wore them on the right are authentic. The narrations that he wore them sometimes on the left are authentic. So we are allowed to wear them on either the left or the right. Likewise, wristwatches. Ulama make qiyas from ring for wristwatches. It is correct for a Muslim to wear his wristwatch on the right. It is also correct to wear it on the left, just like the rings that are not made from gold. Rings from gold are absolutely prohibited in our Sharia. But rings from things like silver and other things, apart from iron, rings from iron are also prohibited for men. The Prophet prohibited it, alayhi salatu wasalam. Likewise, we are prohibited from wearing rings, by extension I'm saying this, we are prohibited from wearing rings on our middle finger. Some brothers do that, they wear ring on the middle finger, it is wrong. Some wear it on the fourth finger, I've seen that one too, it's wrong. Ali radiallahu anhu said, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told me never to wear my ring on the middle finger and on the fourth finger. So don't wear rings on the middle finger, on the fourth finger. The question is, what about this finger? They call it what? The ring finger. Why is it ring finger? There is a traditional belief connected to it. The white two have what they make, magic. They call magic black. They call it black magic. They too have magical beliefs. They have books they wrote on magic. Do you know that? White, Oyinbo people. They have magic too. And they believe in it. They have superstitious beliefs too. One of those is that when you wear the ring on this finger, the called ring finger, the one that follows the chimper, the small finger, when you wear the ring on this finger, there is a vein that connects this finger to the heart. So that's why in their marriages, it is the woman that places it there, so that her love will now enter into the ring and pass through the vein to the heart. It is self-deception. Deception. But Allah told us in the Quran, وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَنْ خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَنْفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً. It is Allah that put it there, not the ring. So Muslims who do it should stop it. Those who have done it should go and remove it. It is part of Jahiliyyah. So that's why one of the ulama say it is part of Tashabbuh bil Kuffar, behaving like Kuffar, because they do it for worship. So when they do it, the Christians bought that over. The distance between them and Mushrikun is small. So they bought that over. So when in the marriages, they say, in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, and then they put it there. They start from the thumb. They say, in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. Don't think when we say the English people have superstitious belief regarding this term. We are the one thinking like that. There are articles on the net. Go and read it. I have seen at least two or three on this, that they believe that there is a connection between this finger and the ring and your heart. So they say the girl should put it there and the man will put it there. Some of our fathers too, they want to behave civilized. When they go to conduct nikah, they say, listen, okay, yahu, you put yahu and yoka, yahu na yahu afu okor and yoka, subhanallah, la, la. If a person is doing something that is wrong, and he's not shouting, subhanallah, it is wrong. What you are doing is wrong. You are saying subhanallah. The subhanallah does not justify it. It does not. So we should stop it. Muslims should stop it. We should place our finger, we should place our ring on the finger on which the best of human beings place his finger. The small finger. Place his ring. The small finger. Alayhi salatu wasalam. When your ring remains there, you'll be rewarded for it. The small finger. And make your ring like his own. Make it of silver and make it of onyx or chalcedony. The upper part of it will be black. You know, black stone. They call it black stone. I shouldn't say black stone because I know that black stone has a meaning altogether. But perhaps if you say stone and its color black, stone without putting it together, I may be right. And that black stone is actually called onyx, or what? Chalcedony, on which he had an inscription of Muhammadun Satrun, Rasulun Satrun, Allahu Satrun. Muhammad Rasulullah. The question is, are we, the rest of the Muslims, allowed to do that, to inscribe Muhammadun Rasulullah on our rings? Ulama say no. Because it's like a civilian, a citizen going to use the stamp of the president. The Prophet used that as a thing of authority. So we should not do that. We should not do that at all. We should not inscribe. We may inscribe any other thing you like, but don't inscribe Muhammadun Rasulullah on it. So that is briefly about the ring. One of the ulama, Al-Imam Ibn Rajab Al-Hanbali, wrote an entire book on the ahkam of ring, khatam. So he discussed all of these issues. For those of us who may like to read some more about it, inshallah, we'll find sufficient explanations in the book. Alaykum salam. Is there a specific dua for a pregnant woman? I've been reading something people sent to me. Say when the woman is pregnant, I say subhanallah. Muslims should, we should engage our time in the things that are beneficial. Long! You say once it started, she did it, then something now happened, then something now happened, then something. It's a lie. There is no special supplication for pregnancy. To get pregnant or to sustain pregnancy. No, nothing. If a person is not pregnant, he should go to the hospital and confirm if there are medical aids he could get. Whether brother or sister or both. I have a friend who didn't get a child for 20 years. He went to the hospital. He has 3 children now. What happened was his vas, is it different? They are constricted. So his fluids don't find exit. When they find exit, only a few of them, they are not motile enough. And they suffer to come out of the constriction. So when they come out, they are tired. They cannot swim off the fallopian tube of the woman. So he cannot conceive. She cannot conceive. So he went to the hospital, they did a surgery, they did some little expansion, and he has 3 children now. So medically, it could be resolved. You should go to the hospital. Don't ask me what is my evidence. The Prophet said to Alayhi Salaam, Sister Dawahu, seek for cure. It involves everything that is halal for us to seek cure. Tadawaw, seek cure. Don't say some medicine as sunnatic, sunnatic prophetic medicine. Every medicine that cures an ailment that is halal is prophetic. Every medicine that cures something and that medicine is halal is prophetic. Is sunnatic. Everything with which we seek cure, and that thing is halal, is sunnah. Because he told us, alayhi salatu wasalam, that there is not a disease except that Allah has sent down the cure. So if he cures it, who sent it down? So every way of seeking cure is allowed. If it is allowed, if it is halal, then it is sunnah. A brother was there raising his hands. Where is he? He looked down. Now, there are you know it's not gold. You can use it. Wristwatches that have golden colors. That's why they say golden. That is gold-like. That's the meaning of golden. If you say it is golden, it means what it is what? Like gold. So if it has a color, if the color is not the issue, it is the substance. So if a person has gold, because there's white gold too. So if a person has gold and it is white, we may be deceived to think that it is correct and it is wrong. So it's not the issue of the color, it is the issue of the composition of the material itself. Allahu A'lam. Alaykum salam. Amin wa antum. Jazakallah. The issue of nutmeg. Sorry, what nutmeg? Nutmeg. It's a seed. Okay. You know, I will not be able to talk about something I don't know about. Since I don't know it, I don't know. I don't know the seed. I will go and find out, inshallah. What is it called? That it intoxicates. How does it intoxicate? When does it intoxicate? Because the corn also intoxicates. Corn, agbado. Doesn't it intoxicate? So when does it intoxicate? Cassava intoxicates. we know when they intoxicate. So it depends on that, if that is what they mean. But if perhaps as you take it, it begins to intoxicate, then that's something else. Allahu Alam. It means we have to know its content. Does it really intoxicate and all of this? What is it called again? Nutmeg. Sorry, I'm not being a good student today. I don't have a Bible in my pocket. Nutmeg. M-U-G. Nutmeg. I'll find out about it. I'll tell official once I know anything. Alaykum salam. Can a Muslim invest in treasury bills? What does it mean? I just hear it. Treasury bills. I don't know what it means. Okay. It doesn't involve interest. Riba? Then we should not. The riba there will spoil the money for us. The last question, inshallah. Drug trafficking. Is it punishable by death? Things like this will go under a verse in Surah Al-Ma'idah. إِنَّمَا جَزَاءُ الَّذِينَ يُحَارِبُونَ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ وَيَسْعَوْنَ فِي الْأَرْضِ فَسَادًا أَنْ يُقَتَّلُوا. The reward for those جَزَاءُ الَّذِينَ يُحَارِبُونَ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ, who fight Allah and His Messenger, أَنْ يُقَتَّلُوا وَيَسْعَوْنَ فِي الْأَرْضِ فَسَادًا, and they spread evil on the earth. One of the worst evils that mankind will face is that people go and bring cocaine for them to take. It's a lot of evil. That country, if it is where you mean, they are complaining that is killing their country. People do a lot of things after they, even in our own country of Islam, where Sharia is the official declared rule, if a person comes in with drug, what will they do to him? He will be killed. So that means the ulama did not speak against it. They do not. So think it is not just issue of life and life. So there are some of the things that will be under this rule of وَيَسْعَوْنَ فِي الْأَرْضِ فَسَادًا أَنْ يُقَتَّلُوا. Such person should be killed. So drug trafficking will find a place under that verse. The verse is in, I think, Al-Ma'idah. It will find a place, inshallah. Because last week you made attempt to ask a question, we'll accommodate your question. We'll make it the last question, inshallah. Although we still have 8 minutes, we still have time. Just go on. Naam. Not just punishment. The person should, if now, capital punishment, yes. It came to mind too that the blood of a Muslim, the Prophet says, alayhi salatu wasalam, la yahillu damu mri'in muslimin illa min salat. The blood of the Muslim is not allowed to be taken except from three things. As-sayyibu zani, a person who is married in a legal marriage in Sharia, and then who after copulating with his own wife legally, after that he commits adultery. And then an-nafs bin-nafs, that a soul should be taken for another in revenge if a person commits murder. And then he says, at-tariqu li dinihi al-mufariqu lil-jama'ah, the one who leaves Islam, he abandons Islam and rebels against the rest of the Muslims. So that hadith would indicate that the life should not be taken except on these three counts, on any of these three counts. I think that verse itself occurs in, like I said, Surah Al-Ma'idah. And perhaps what we can say for now is that the hadith would mean that it is not restrictive. It is not. It will not imply restriction, because that verse makes us understand that there may be other things for which a person may be killed. The verse makes us understand that there may be other things for which a person may be killed. So we may not be able to insist that the report is restrictive, because we have a text that clearly indicates that apart from these three things, this one may also take capital punishment. Allahu A'lam. Perhaps a closer look at those texts will resolve the matter. I'm just trying to recall something. I think this is an old issue. I'm just trying to. Allahu A'lam. Now, Bismillah. The Masjid al-Nabawi in Medina is decorated with gold. And the Masjid al-Haram in Makkah is also decorated with gold. Are they exempted? Ulama have been talking, they talk, and they will give fatwa and they will keep quiet. Those who will enforce is government, not ulama. But we understand that it is wrong. The ulama say it is wrong. But those who are in the position, that's why one big lesson on this is the ulama in every community should understand their limits. They should know their limits. The ulama didn't say it is haram, it is wrong. So I encourage the students, how many ears do you have? They said two. Oh yeah, begin to remove this gold. They didn't do that. Because that will cause commotion. It will cause upheaval from the land. So they limit their statements to, it is wrong. So the matter is with those in authority to now implement the fatwa that ulama gives. So it is not correct. And those two mosques are not exempted. The mosque in Makkah and the mosque in Medina, they are wrong. It is wrong that the mosques are designed with subhanallah, with gold. Alaykum salam. Alaykum salam. Riba is worse than prostitution. Yes. The reference for it is that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that a dirham from zina, this hadith is Hassan, it is collected by Imam Munziri in his book At-Targhib wa At-Tarhib. Imam At-Tawrani collected it essentially, but he mentioned it in At-Targhib that the Messenger said alayhi salatu wasalam. It's also in Kitab al-Kabair by Imam al-Zahabi. And also, apart from Sheikh Al-Albani, who said it is Hassan in At-Targhib, Sheikh Mashhur Hassan Al-Salman also mentioned that the hadith is Hassan in his Tahqiq of Kitab Al-Kabair. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, a dirham from zina, from riba, is worse than an individual bringing out his mother in the public and making zina with her. So you see, it involves zina, not just zina, incest. And then he says it is worse than that. That is the proof. Ameen wa antum fa jazakumullah khair. Alaykum salam. Last question now, inshallah.
Right.
we have a church. But in front of that house, we have a church. So when we are in charge of water,
people who have, why? Water. A community does not have water sometimes. And so they go to a nearby church to fetch water from their well. So some of the brothers feel uncomfortable. It is normal that they should feel uncomfortable from two angles. The first angle being that what they may be hearing from that place will be uncomfortable for them. Their hearts will hate it. That is from one angle. The second angle is that it may give a false impression to a passerby that our fans are in church. That even their fans are coming to the church. And I'm sure the Christians can even take your pictures and then propagate to see that they are converting Muslims. These are the Muslims that are benefiting from the well. By the time you know, you find yourself on Facebook and so their feeling is normal. That they feel uncomfortable is very, very normal. What we can now say on top of that is, if the community knows that people fetch water, they are Muslims and non-Muslims, then they should fetch their water according to their need. The entire community is aware already that Muslims go there, and nobody will mistake it to say, I want to find another church. So in that sense, we may not be able to say they should not go. We are trying to attend to their feelings now. But a Muslim can say, no, instead of me to fetch there, I'll remain until the water comes. I mean, we can find water. I will not blame such a person. I will not blame such a person. And again, if the non-Muslims, the Christians, there are people with whom you have good dealings, it may not also be wrong. It's one of the things we Muslims, we don't do. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, on a day, he went, the day of the Eid of the Jews, he went into their synagogue in Medina to make da'wah to them. The hadith occurs in Musnad Imam Ahmad. Would we find Muslims who say they are going to a church to make da'wah today? The pastor, good day, how are you? Say, fine. I have come to tell you about Islam. Have you heard of Muhammad ever? Alayhi salam. The Muslims are so docile now, as if we are ashamed of our deen. And some of the brothers say, oh, we want to memorize Quran. That one has its place. Everything has its place. Da'wah has its place, At-ta'allum and At-ta'aleem has its place. And he charged you, he says, وَلَوْ آيَا بَلِّغُوا أَنِّي. Tell the people about me, even if it is one ayah. So if you learn one ayah and memorize the ayah and know the rulings of that ayah very well, you can go. Some people say, what if they ask you a question you don't know? You say you don't know, because when they asked the companions of the Prophet Muhammad too, alayhi salatu wasalam, questions, the Jews were asking them in questions in Medina, and they would say that they don't know. A hadith occurs in Musnad Imam Ahmad, wherein the non-Muslims came to the Prophet Muhammad, the Jews specifically, and they were saying that, look at you, your companions, shame to them. We asked them questions and they don't know. They told us that they don't know. The Prophet said to them, alayhi salatu wasalam, what shame is in a man being asked about something and he says, I don't know? What is the shame there? A man is being asked something. This one you ask, so I don't know. When we were younger than this, that we had lengthy discussions with Jehovah Witnesses, we used to ask them many questions. They will tell us that they will go back and they will come back with answer the following week. If you have an experience, let us see. You have such experience? Jehovah Witness. When you talk to them, you give them, they say, we go back. The next time they are coming, they will come with somebody that is more learned than they are. So what are we saying? It is not possible any time that you are ever asked about something and you know it at all times. Al-Imam al-Albani rahimahullah in an audio, he was asked, what is the meaning of fatir? Allah says, Alhamdulillah, fatiru samawati wal-adabi, ja'ilul malaikati rusula. They asked him, what is the meaning of fatir? He says, nothing comes to my mind about it now, I don't know. Fatir, Imam, at that age, because the audio indicated that he was old at the time. He says, I don't know. So it means, even if you become like Al-Albani rahimahullah, you will be asked questions and you still need to say, I don't know. So one, I don't know is sending you away from making da'wah. Then nobody should sit here. How many questions have I been asked just today? And I'm saying, I don't know, I don't know, I don't know, I don't know. And Imam Malik rahimahullah, Imam Dar al-Hijrah, they came with how many questions? 20 or 25. They say, from Tunisia, to Medina, the man was a delegate of his people. Go and ask Malik in Medina. And they came to Medina, they asked an Imam Malik, this is a La Adri. This one La Adri. That La Adri. Say, ha. The man said, Imam Dar al-Hijra La Adri. The whole Imam of Medina, the place to which the Prophet migrated, doesn't know alayhi salatu. Say, when you go back to your people, tell them that Imam Malik said that all the questions you ask, he does not know. It is honor for you because it means you know what you know. You know your limit. Ah, this one, I don't know it. And it means it is easy for you to learn it. Once you know what you don't know. It is empty arrogance for people to think that you have to know everything. No matter how small they think that thing may be. And Sheikh Al-Albani was asked about earth, something on earth, inheritance. He said, go and ask Bumbas. He is the one who will know that one. There is not any scholar you will ask. Sheikh Muqbil Al-Wadi was asked, when will the people go out for jihad? He said, go and ask Albani. It's a big question you are asking me. It is common in Islamic history, ulama referring questions to, this one knows it better than me. Go and ask him. This one, go and ask this one. I don't know, but he will know. So young brothers now think that before you can make da'wah, you have to know everything. It's a wrong perception. You don't have to know everything to preach Islam. Even in our masajid, how many of us try to explain Islam to people? In mosque, where we pray, take Riyadu Salihin, you read it and explain. If you can't explain, read it and keep quiet. If you can't explain, read it and find out before the day that you will explain. You will do two things. You will learn and teach. You will be learning and teaching. That was how the companions were. When Mu'adh ibn Jabal was going to Yemen, the Prophet gave him lessons. So when you reach there, do like this, do like this, do like that, do like that. So are you saying in Yemen they were asking Mu'adh questions, radiallahu anhu, and he knew everything? You don't have to know everything to be able to tell somebody else about Islam. The problem we have is we are docile. And I think there is some aspects of subliminal, there is some subconscious inferiority complex. We're talking a lot of Muslims. Perhaps because the way some Muslims have behaved, some Muslims kill people, all of what we have been reading and hearing about. But that is not to say that you should not be able to tell somebody the truth about Islam. Who should be shy? Who should be shy? I tell people, brothers who say, I'm shy to leave my trouser or say, you are shy? The followers of Ashrafa are not shy to walk barefooted. If the man is a director in a ministry, when he wears his white gown, he must go on barefoot. And the follower of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is shy. The follower of Ashrafa, they are not shy. It is the follower of Muhammad ibn Abdullah that should be shy. Is that not shame on that individual that should say that, make that statement? So we need to change our mentality. Everywhere we are, every Muslim is an ambassador for Islam. Be a good Muslim and tell the rest of the people about Islam. This is how our religion is. Many of us, the mosque where we pray, the babas there don't know how to pray. There is sifatu salati nabi in Arabic. If you can read and explain, it is in English too. You can be reading that one to explain because la yukallifu Allahu nafsan illa wus'aha. That is what you have ability for now. And they will benefit from you. They will learn. You too, you will be learning. And you will be teaching what you learn. You will be learning and be teaching what you learn. Let's reach out to the people and tell them about Islam. Islam is the deen that every person should be proud to say is a Muslim. I'm Muslim. When people say God is divided into three, they are not shy to tell us this. God is one, but he has three branches. They are not shy. They say a human being, Jesus alone, they are not shy. Jesus Lulua, they are not shy. It is you who want to say Allahu wahid wa ilahukum ilahu wahidu la ilaha illahu wa rahmanir rahim that is shy. Should you be shy?